Black Star Radio on this Friday morning. And tourism in Queensland, it is big industry, and it's also the lifeblood of many areas. Now, prior to COVID-19, there was increased interest in the Indigenous experience. COVID-19 has basically put a stop to that at the moment, but to try and find out more about the future, I've got the Chief Executive of Queensland Tourism Industry Council, Daniel Geschwind, on the phone at the moment. Daniel, thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you, Mark.
Now, as I just said with the introduction, there was a big interest, or starting to be a big interest, in Indigenous tourism prior to COVID-19. You'd been organising with a planned group to get it going. What is happening now that COVID-19 has come in?
Well, at the very moment, not much is happening externally in the tourism industry, as we all know, but we certainly haven't lost focus and interest in pushing the Indigenous aspirations in the tourism sector hard and fast as much as we can. We really built up a significant head of steam, Mark, in the lead up to this. As an organisation, the Queensland Tourism Industry Council has for 10 years worked on generating more employment opportunities for Indigenous people in the tourism industry. And we've been quite successful in that. We've formed many partnerships with businesses right around the state who have a strong interest in having more Indigenous faces involved in their businesses at all levels, in management, in the frontline staff, in the development of tours. So all of that has worked very well. In the last couple of years, we wanted to broaden the scope a little bit on the basis of all these partnerships that we formed with Indigenous people and with also mainstream tourism businesses. And for the last 2 years nearly now, we've been working towards First Nations tourism plan for Queensland. It's the first time such a thing was attempted. And we involved lots of people, lots of consultation right around the state with Indigenous people, with people who are in the industry, with people who are thinking of the industry. And out of that came a very comprehensive high-level plan that we released formally earlier this year. And that plan maps out a set of aspirations that Indigenous people told us they would like to see realized in tourism. And we have, as an organization of the Queensland Tourism Industry Council, fully supports that, fully embraced it. We went to the government with the confidence of that plan and said, look, it would be appropriate to declare this year, 2020, as Year of Indigenous Tourism. And the Tourism Minister Kate Jones and the Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk agreed to this. They declared this year Year of Indigenous Tourism. We also said to them, you should back it and put your money where your mouth is, if you like. And to their credit, the government has stumped up $10 million to support Indigenous opportunities and Indigenous initiatives. And $7 million of that have been earmarked for grants to Indigenous businesses. And that process is in place now. Sadly, COVID-19 has pretty much put the kibosh on everything, and not much is happening. A lot of businesses, white and black, are really struggling to even survive at this point. But it hasn't stopped us in the Indigenous space from pushing our agenda. We have a committee for this First Nations tourism plan that is chaired by our deputy chairman, Cameron Costello from QTIC. He is a very prominent Indigenous leader down here in the southeast corner in Condamooka country. And in Jeriba, the Stradbroke Island, he is a very respected person who is developing business opportunities for Indigenous people. He's chairing it, and he's joined in this committee by an all-Indigenous committee of representatives from all parts of the industry, all parts of Queensland, young and old, men and women. So we're very excited, Mark. We're very excited. We have seen Indigenous pictures and images used in promotion of tourism for Australia, for Queensland, for decades. But the reality of Indigenous businesses and Indigenous presence and engagement has not really matched the imagery. So we hope, on behalf of the industry, that with this initiative, we can advance this agenda and create more opportunity.
The attraction of Indigenous-based tourism or Indigenous-based attractions has been growing a great deal. Now, you're also talking about this working group that's been getting together of Indigenous people. What's some of the backgrounds and experiences of this working group?
Well, they come from all walks of life, from all the way from Massey Island in the Torres Strait. Fraser Nay has joined this group. We have from Yarrabah, we have Dale and Dwayne Mundraby. We have Justin Dillon from the Gold Coast. We have Willie Enoch from the Captor Group, a young aspiring tourism professional who's done great work. We have Darren Harris from the Cairns Indigenous Arts Fair. We have also a prominent representative from Cairns, David Hudson, who is a very active tourism operator in Cairns and very well respected. We have Josh Handley, who works with Accor Group, an Indigenous person. We have Preston Campbell, who is well known for his foundation, the Preston Campbell Foundation. We have from the Outback, Suzanne Thompson, who is also a tourism operator out there and involved in many, many initiatives to give more prominence to Indigenous tourism opportunity in the Outback. And then we have also a young Indigenous artist, Janice Sutton, who has made a real name for herself and being extremely innovative in the art space and very, very prominent. She's only very young, but a really, really inspiring person. And then we have also from the Gold Coast, Shannon Ruskell from Tribal Experiences, many enterprises associated with him, and he is a very prominent performer with his dance group, performed all over the world, promoting tourism, and he's also supporting this initiative. And perhaps I should also say, to help us with some of the organizational and structural aspects of this, we have a very, very prominent senior counsel and Indigenous person, Anthony McAvoy, who is a Queenslander but practices in Sydney at the moment, but he is very involved in the advancement of Indigenous interests, and he is supporting this initiative as well. And we're very, very fortunate to have a person of his caliber involved also.
With the attraction of tourism to the Cape and also to the Gulf, I mean, all the communities, there are some spectacular scenery, some amazing artwork, because virtually every location has its own identity within the art group. How are you going to be able to engage with the locals in the community to back any tourism move into the area?
Well, look, it's all about relationships, Mark, and that's something that our industry is well versed in. We know that's how it works. A very, very vast industry, but they're made up of many, many parts, and we all depend on each other in many ways. No matter how big or small an operator it is, you depend on somebody else. You know, you depend on the transport system, the distribution system, the travel agencies. You depend on complementary services, maybe in food and beverage. All of it comes together for the customer. The customer is at the center of this. So no matter how good you think you are, you still depend on all these businesses around you to work with you. And that is true for Indigenous and non-Indigenous businesses. So we all have to work together. But I have to say, as a new arrival in Australia, I've only been here for less than 40 years in Australia, it always struck me that if there is one thing that Australia has that is really special, really unique, really different, then surely it must be its Indigenous culture and its Indigenous people, and of course as well as on the nature that goes with it. But that Indigenous component is one of the very, very few truly unique attributes that we can highlight from a tourism point of view. And we haven't made enough of it, and we can make more of it. I am convinced of this. And many of our competitor destinations around the world would give anything they have such a great asset. And we can, particularly as we now look to a recovery, a way out of this COVID-19 situation, we have to bank on all our competitive advantages. And I really believe the Indigenous part of this country, the Indigenous heritage, culture, presence, people, is one of the great advantages we have. It's not going to be an easy road. We can't just put a shingle up and say, here is Indigenous. We have to really work on this, all of us. We have to deliver the services. They have to be great quality. They have to be consistent, reliable. All of that we have to achieve, but the opportunity is certainly there.
And you just mentioned then regarding the way out from COVID-19. What is the pathway back? What is the steps that really need to be taken once we see a relaxation of the isolation rules, or what I call the hibernation rules? So there's going to be pretty big steps need to be taken.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we're working with the state government at the moment intensely to make sure that as an industry we can deliver the attributes and the certainty to the government that we know how to look after people once they're allowed. Everybody will be very much focused on safety, on the management of infection spread. So we have to really be focused on that. So we're working at the moment with health professionals to make sure that everybody in this industry, whatever sector you're in, whether it's food and beverage or accommodation or tours, you actually know what you should be doing. So we're working on that at the moment to then go to the government and say, look, we're ready. We can do this. And as the government, based on the health advice from the chief health officer, as the government eases restrictions geographically and perhaps in what we can do, we may be able to go to restaurants first and later we can stay overnight. As this happens, we have to make sure that as an industry and as operators, we're fully aware of what our responsibilities are. That's very important, and we will certainly be communicating with our members and the industry more broadly on that point specifically. But beyond that, we also have to make sure, of course, that our businesses are match ready, if you like, and prepared for what the new consumers will expect. And we have to anticipate that consumers will come out of this with slightly different expectations. They may, as I said, be more focused on how safe is this? Can I take my family there without risk of infection? Do these people, the service providers, know what they're doing? So we have to really make sure that businesses are ready for that. And we work together to understand what are the priorities for visitors. Maybe we all come out of this, Mark, more focused on sort of true back to basic values. You know, what's important in our lives? You know, do we connect with nature? Do we connect with, as I said, indigenous cultures and values, perhaps? All of those things we have to think about as businesses and be ready for if we want to compete. And I think there are opportunities. You know, the domestic market will obviously be activated first, a long, long time before the international market comes back. And perhaps it is that many Australians will look more closely for their entertainment and their enjoyment. And I think there are opportunities. I'm certain that many people in Cairns have not experienced half of what's on offer on their doorstep. And the same is true for most regions in Queensland, I think.
I think you're very accurate there, because I've got the horrible suspicion that more people have experienced life and holidays overseas than they have in our own country. And it's got some gorgeous areas for us to go and enjoy.
In an average year, like last year, there would have been more than 5 million Australians taking a holiday overseas. That's not counting the visiting friends and relatives or business trips. That's just holidays, more than 5 million. And those 5 million Australians have spent $54 billion overseas. Now, we won't be going anywhere overseas anytime soon. So if we can tap into that market of $43 billion, that Australians spend overseas normally, then we have a pretty good opportunity to make it work for us. I think that would be terrific.
Look in your own backyard first. Sounds like it'd be it. Daniel, look, thank you so much for your time. And I'm really looking forward to hearing more about this initiative for the Indigenous tourism future. I'd like you to keep in touch, and anything we can do, more than happy to help.
That's terrific, Mark. I really appreciate it. Like I said, we all have to work together. We all want a great future. And I think the more we work together, the better it is.
Daniel, thank you very much. Daniel Schmidt from the Queensland Tourism Industry Council.